All right, good evening. Welcome to Sunday night, Calling in the Lost. Tonight might be a little bit different than our usual service, but we will be calling in the lost. I'm going to share some things the Lord's been doing and some of the things He's put on my heart, and I believe that we'll be blessed and we'll receive from the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. I want to read this to you. It's in the hallway out here in the foyer, and I know you've heard it, you've seen it, but I just want to remind us while we're here tonight. It says, "We've been yelling, Tulsa is in revival for some time, calling it saved. And because we're doing that, then heaven is free to move, not only in the city, but He's free to move in preparing us and changing us. We're inviting Him to do all of those things." Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this evening, Lord God. We thank You for this time that we set aside to receive from Your Word, Lord God. And Father, to speak the truth of who You are and what You want for this body, for this city, for our lives, Lord. And we do, Holy Spirit, we do invite You. We invite You to come and to do these things, to move and to prepare us, to change us, to receive all that You have for us, Lord God. So this night, Holy Spirit, I ask that You have Your way in this place. I ask that the words that I speak tonight wouldn't be just my words, but they'd be Your words, Father. And Lord, that You would open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, and that we'd have a willingness to obey and to follow You in all things. So, Father, for these things we do honor and glorify You. We thank You for all of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the last couple of weeks, I've been ministering in Kenya, Africa, Uganda, Africa. Been sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Been sharing the truth about who we've become as a born-again, new creation in Jesus Christ. Been talking about a resurrection power that He's put in within us. You know, as I was sharing those things, I told the people, I said, you know, just by nature of the word resurrection itself, it implies that there has to be a death. And you know, everyone wants the resurrection power, but nobody wants to die. And for a long time in this church, we've been talking about putting to death the nature of the flesh. We've been talking about dying to the things of sin and to the old nature. But you know, God doesn't want us to die just so that we lay around dead. He wants us to put to death those things so that we can be free to walk and fulfill the calling of God while in this body. So that the old nature, the flesh does not rule us, but our body be subjected to the things of God, be subjected to the Spirit and the life that is within us. Amen? And that's part of what we're doing here tonight when we're calling in those things that be not as though they were. We're commanding the things that we know that God has spoken into our lives and into our church and into our body. We're commanding those things to come to pass. And we're commanding our mind to line up with what God has said has already done. See, it's not just a slogan, Tulsa is in revival. It's a truth, because it's what God has said and it's what God has declared for our body, for this church. It's not a novel idea. It's not something that we're hoping will happen, but it's something that we've already received and we need to see it as completed and done in our lives. You know, this morning I shared just a little bit about what happened while we were in Uganda and while we were in Kenya, and I don't want to say that those things weren't important because they really were. We had a wonderful time. God did some amazing things, but that was more about what God did through us. And through me, through my son Solomon. Solomon had an opportunity to teach the children in one place. He shared about the story of Joseph. He was able to connect with some people his age. God really did some things there, and they gave him some gifts, and he really connected with some people, and it was powerful. It was amazing. There were people who were born again. There were people who were baptized with the Holy Ghost. There were people who were healed. There was a wonderful move of God that took place. But you know, before we took that trip, there's a man that had a word for me and for Solomon before we'd ever really even purchased our tickets or confirmed the dates or any of those things. He said, I saw the word Hans. He said, I saw the word Solomon. He said, I saw Africa and I saw freedom and I saw miracles. And, you know, I was excited about that. Thought, you know, we're going to go there and we're going to see people get set free. We're going to see miracles take place. And it was an exciting thing. It really, really stirred in my spirit. I thought, that's awesome. But I had no idea the freedom that God was talking about. Because, yes, there are people who are set free, and I don't want to make light of that. There are people who are set free by the power of God. But what I experienced as I walked through the land of Kenya and Uganda that I'd never experienced before, there was a freedom of knowing that this is where God has called me to be. A freedom, an understanding, you could say a revelation that this is what God has given me. And even before we got to Africa, I was on the plane and I was asking the Lord some questions. I was asking him about the call of God on my life and about how he had called me to Africa and exactly what it is that he wanted me to do. And I've only done this maybe one or two other times in my life where I actually just wrote down a couple of questions and the Lord began to answer. And I'm not going to go into all of the things that I was asking him or all the things that he said, but there's one phrase that just really made an impact on me. I was asking him about his will for us in Africa. And he said this. He said, don't allow past understandings to keep you from new revelations. And I believe that's a word for the body. Because, you know, sometimes we get an understanding of what God is saying to us. Maybe he even speaks a word in season into your life and it sets you free and you're sure, you grab a hold of it and you're like, yes, this is what I needed. This is for me. And you have that word and you're holding on to it and you're creating a picture of what it is that God has said to you. And tonight I can tell you that for me, I'm going to give a little bit of a testimony, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to relate some of these things to your own life and see how God speaks things into our lives, but yet he requires something of us to see them come to pass. I remember when the Lord spoke to me about Africa. See, this isn't a new thing for me. I turned 45 years old while I was in Africa this time. And, you know, this dream or this vision or this desire has been embedded in me since I was 19 years old. Really, the Lord didn't really speak clearly to me until I was about 30 about the things of Africa. And what he said to me at that time is he said, I have given you the continent of Africa. I was 30 years old. I didn't really know what that meant. I knew what God had called me to. I knew God called me to preach. I knew that I had an idea of what it meant. But I didn't really understand it, and it was way too big for me to grab a hold of, and I didn't know what to do with it. But over time, I began to get a picture of what that could entail and what that could mean. And I began to see different ideas and different things that of what ministry would entail and how we could get there and what it would be like. And you know, Pastor Allen talked a little bit about that this morning, that, you know, we can take the words that the Lord has given us, and we have them written down, and we look at them, and we study them, and it's our blueprint. But we can take that, and if we're not careful, we try to bring them to pass in our own strength and in our own abilities. And we in our impatience, we begin to figure out ways to make it happen. And I would say that for me, that word that absolutely captivated me was, you know, I've given you the continent of Africa. And so I grabbed a hold of that, which I believe that it's important to do. And it's important to see that that is what God has called me to. And whatever it is that God's put in your life, it's important to grab a hold of it. It's important to put it before you. It's important to contend for that. But if we're not careful, we begin to find our identity in something that we believe God wants us to do instead of who He's called us to be. And for me, after some time, it was many years, but I got to the place where I wasn't content in anything because I wasn't in Africa. And so I was working a job, but that job's in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or it's in Oklahoma City, or it's in Florida, or it's in somewhere, but it's not in Africa. And so I was wondering all the time, how am I going to get to Africa? How is this going to come to pass? And so I thought, well, I've got to, if I'm not doing anything towards this call, then I must not be fulfilling what God's called me to do. And so I began to look for ways to make that happen. And I began to find other ministries that I could be a part of and different groups that were part of missions and different ideas on how to raise funds and how to get support and how to get to where we're supposed to be, to the point that I was carrying around this responsibility that I've got to get to Africa. But you see, I didn't call myself to Africa. It's not up to me to see these things come to pass. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I had to come to a place in my life where I finally had to say, you know what, God, I didn't call myself to Africa. As a matter of fact, I didn't even ask for this. You know, I said, and just to be real honest with you, I'm pretty comfortable where I'm living right now. And so I had to give that up and say, Lord, you know what? I'm yours. And if all I'm going to do is work a regular job and take care of my family and be a good husband and be a good father and attend a church and be faithful in those things, God, I'll do that for the rest of my life. And I'll be content knowing that I'm yours. And see, when I was able to begin to let go of past understandings, thinking that it's my responsibility, thinking that there's something more that I have to do, thinking that I have to make this thing come to pass, then I could open myself up. When I let go of that, I could open myself up to the revelations that God has for me for how He wants to do things. And I believe that's true even here in this church as we look to the things that God has spoken to us, as we look to the future and we believe and we know that Tulsa is in revival. Now, we ought to live like we're in revival because that's where we are. We ought to live that way, understanding it, but at the same time, knowing that we're not the one bringing it to pass. We're trusting in Him that He has this 100%. See, what happens is we get fearful that maybe it won't happen, and so we think that there's something else that we have to do to see to it that it happens. But see, God wants us to let go of it. Let Him have it, so that He can bring to pass what he wants in our lives, so that He can make the adjustments. And just as Dave said, that we invite Him in to change us and prepare us for what it is that He has to do. See, we think that we're going to do something and change things around us, and we will, but it's because we've been changed by Him. Because we've allowed Him to prepare us and to bring us to that place where He's able to perform that which He said that He would perform in our life. So, all of the journey leading up to even this trip, not that this trip was the end all, it wasn't the culmination of all of what God is doing, it's just another part of the journey, but something happened on this trip in Africa that went beyond what God was doing through us in the meetings and to the people of Africa. It went beyond the miracles and the signs and wonders of the ministry that was going on. And there was something that was happening between me and the Holy Ghost. There's something that God was doing that went beyond anything else that I've experienced in my life. And if no one got saved, if no one got healed, if no one got ministered to, that trip was more important than the money that was spent on it. And I don't mean to make light of anything that God did, because those things are so important, but there was a ministry that took place between God and myself, my son, the people, the ministers, that went beyond anything that I'd experienced before. There was a solidification of the relationships that God has forged in those lands that I sat and I thought, you know, if anyone wanted to go to Kenya, Africa, there's no place in the country that they could go that I couldn't say, I have someone that can help you. I have someone that can be with you. And I want you to know that when we were there and as we were ministering and as things were going on there, it wasn't just me ministering in Kenya, Africa. The men that God has acquainted us with, the men that God has united us with, when we sat around talking, they were talking about Dave Roberson. They were talking about Gary Carpenter. They were talking about Pastor Jim Martin. The prayer center, the family prayer center is there in Africa. Those men are a part of this family. This isn't something that's going on outside of this place, but it's what God is doing through the people of the prayer center. Would we go there? Whether you like it or not, you're going with us. You know, whether you want to be in Africa or not, you're there. And God is doing a work that is beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. And it wasn't something that I could even claim or see in myself, but it's something that God is doing. You know, one of the highlights, there were several highlights, but one of the highlights of that trip, you know, the moment I got off the plane when I got there until the moment I got back on the plane, it seemed I was ministering somewhere, I was preaching, I was doing something. And so I get there on a Friday evening, I wake up Saturday morning, I preach. And one service, and then he has to preach another service, and then in the afternoon we preach another service, and then we go to bed, and Sunday morning we get up and we preach another service, in the afternoon we preach another service, and then we go to bed, and then Monday morning we're traveling, and I believe it was Tuesday. It was my birthday. And we were in the rural areas of Kenya. There's a city called Migori. And there's some rural villages there. And when I talked about that freedom, it's hard to describe, but it was more like an authority. It was the lack of any type of fear, the lack of anything where you feel like you're in a foreign land. I knew that this was the land that God had given me. Didn't matter that they have a different culture, that they speak a different language. None of those things mattered. There was something different. And that day, you know, after I had all of these meetings and everything that had gone on, I had a moment just to sit. And I was sitting outside in the countryside, and I'm looking over the mountains of Kenyan, the beautiful land and the space that's there. And I said, you're going to have to excuse me for a minute. We were there with a family, my pastor friend and his family, his mother, his brother, and a whole bunch of other people. And I said, listen, please, just excuse me for a moment. And I walked that land. They had 15 acres of land there, and I just walked it. And I didn't know what was happening, but there was a communication going on between me and the Holy Spirit. And I was praying in other tongues, and I was weeping before God and just worshiping God. And the Lord was saying, how did you get here? Who brought you to this place? And all I could say was, it was you, Lord. All I could do is say, God, it was you. It was you. You know, beyond everything that I tried, every person I tried to connect with, all of the efforts of the flesh meant nothing. I knew at that moment that God had brought me to that place. And something broke off of me. I don't know how to even really explain it, but something happened where it went from a idea and a hope to something that was real. We go from a place, it's like going from a place of faith to a place of believing. You know, we're taught here so many times, when you believe, it comes to pass. You know, you really see it happening. When we really believe that we've received our healing, we walk in it. And it's ours. And for in that moment, I knew with something, it was like a new revelation. God had done this. Man couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. God had done this. And I don't know all that was taking place in the realm of the Spirit, but I was communing with the Holy Ghost, and I came back and I sat down among these people, and one of the men who's been here to this church, and he's been to Jim Martin's church, and he's fellowship with us here. We've spent time together. And he stood up and he said, he says, Hans, we want you to build a home here on this land. We want your family to be here on this land. We want you to be our missionaries. There's nothing that you need to get. This is yours. And you know the scripture that says those are forsaken lands and houses and homes and families and, you know, all of those things for my sake, that I won't give it to them. And I know I'm paraphrasing it, but you understand what I'm saying. God was bringing to pass His Word right in front of me. And I'm not saying that that's what we're going to do. I'm just saying that there was confirmation taking place that went beyond anything of man's words or man's wisdom. There are things that happened on this trip that solidified something inside of me that took me past an obstacle in my life where I could say, I believe. And so I want to tell you tonight that there's a place that goes beyond simply understanding. And we have to get to that place where we have a revelation of what God has said to us, and that it becomes a part of us, and we're able to carry it and walk in the truth of it without it being cumbersome and without the weight of responsibility of trying to bring it to pass in the flesh. So before I finish up, I do want to turn to the scripture for a moment. And I want you to look at the book of Matthew Matthew chapter 16. And we'll begin in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they answered, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So here Peter received an understanding of who Jesus is. And you could say it was a revelation, because Jesus told him, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It was revealed to you by the Father. So here we know this was a revelation from God that Jesus is the Christ. And of course, that's the foundation, the stone on which the church is built, this revelation. But if we go down a little bit further, verse 21 said, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside. See, here Peter, he had this revelation that this is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And yet, it says he took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. See, Peter, he got a word from God. He heard the word of the Lord that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter's like, I got it. I know who he is. And so even when this man who Peter said, I know you're the Son, I know you're the Christ, yet he couldn't receive the words that he was saying because it went against the understanding that he had. See, he didn't have within him the capacity to carry this revelation, because Jesus, verse 23 said, but he turned, this was Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Now, of course, Peter at this time wasn't born again yet. But I think it's a pretty good picture of what happens between our flesh and the spirit. See, we receive a spiritual revelation from God. We've got a word. We know that it's God. It's even confirmed by the Holy Ghost. We know 100% it's God. There was no doubt that what Peter had heard was from God. Jesus told him it was. And yet he was not able to relate that, because he allowed his understanding and his own mind and his own ways to dictate what that meant. And when Jesus had something to say that was outside of that, he couldn't receive it. And sometimes God is speaking to us. He's giving us a word, and the purpose of his speech is so that we'll inquire of him and ask him, Lord, how will this come to pass? And allow him to bring it to pass in our life. But many times we take that word and we put it into a box in our own mind, and we decide this is what it is and this is what it means, and we carry it around our whole life and never see it come to pass because we put it in our own understanding. But when you let go of it and you say, God, I don't know what it means, but I know it's from you, and you're the one that has the answer. You're the one that can bring it to pass. And if it has to die, so be it. I'll let go of it. I'll let it go. Because when we know that it's from God, if it's really God, which it was, then Peter didn't have to hold on to it and try to make it come to pass, because it was God who said it. It was up to him to make it happen. What does Peter care if he has to die? The revelation is that he's the Christ. So we know he can't stay dead because he's the Son of God. See, when the revelation is that this vision that God has given us is from him. I didn't come up with it. You didn't come up with it. It's not man's idea. The revelation comes from God. And when we can truly believe that, then we don't worry about what our circumstances have to say about it, what it looks like around us. And I'm going to tell you that there's some things that are changing in this season. We're entering into something different. I don't believe that it was a coincidence that at the same time that I was in Africa, Mark's in Brazil, Greg is in Ukraine. There was another couple that was a part of this church that was in Haiti just recently. And there's a change. There's something that's happening all around us. And God is doing something. And some of the things that he's doing, you can look all day long and you'll never see it with your own eyes. You'll never understand it in the flesh, but in the realms of the spirit, God is placing things together and he's piecing us into the places. He's putting us into the places where we need to be. He's putting each piece in place. And even though it may not look like anything different in the natural and even seem as though it was worse than what it was before, when we hold on to the vision and the truth of what God has said, he will put those things together and bring to pass the picture that he has for us. And it might not look like what you thought it was supposed to look like. I'll just tell you, in my experience, every time I thought of what it was supposed to look like, it didn't turn out that way. You know, and even when we look in the Word of God, many of the times the things that people thought were going to happen didn't happen the way they wanted it to. If you look at Abraham, he was ready to have a kid a lot longer, a lot sooner than God was ready to give it to him. I'll just say it that way, but you know what I mean. Sooner than he received it and saw it in manifestation. See, God doesn't see time the way we see time. I mean, Jesus said he's coming soon. And it's like, come on, Lord, it's been 2,000 years. But see, Peter told us that a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And Jesus is just saying, come on, it's only been a couple days, guys. Don't worry. You know, he's not concerned. He's not wringing his hands and saying, oh, when are they going to get into revival? You know? When are the wheelchairs going to show up? You know, God's not saying, man, when are they going to get out there and get somebody healed? Come on. That's the nature of the flesh trying to say, if it was supposed to happen, it would have happened. And I'll be as bold as to say that there have been those who have broken fellowship because they didn't understand, they didn't carry the revelation of what God, that this is something that God is doing and not man. And I understand the drive. I understand the desire to see it come to pass. But we have to trust that God's desire is greater than ours. We have to trust that God wants to see them out of the wheelchairs more than we do. And we have to trust that he's changing us and he's preparing us and he's bringing us to that place where we can carry the revelation. It becomes a truth that's a part of us and not just something that we heard that we think we understand. But that we can look at that and we can say, Tulsa's in revival. And we can meditate on it. We can enjoy it. We can love it. But we don't have to put it into a box as to what I think that it ought to look like. We have things that we're believing and we're confessing and we are by faith saying these things will come to pass. But how they happen and when they happen and who they happen through, we're going to put that in God's hands and trust that he's bringing these things to pass. And that each one of us will walk and that we do walk in that anointing of the believer. That we lay hands on the sick and that we see them recover. And when you really believe that and you put the responsibility of that on the Word of God, and we trust that God is able to bring it to pass, and that we trust in the inward work of the born-again nature that He's put inside of us, then we can do that at ease and know and be at peace, knowing that God is doing that. We don't have to bring it to pass. We don't have to see it happen, because it's already done. And we're just putting ourselves in line with the finished product and the finished work. And yes, it is a crucifixion to our flesh. And yes, it is, there is work that we do. But the work is to put to death that nature that tries to dictate how things should be done according to the flesh. And we rely upon the new nature that He's put in us, and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to take us into that place that He has for us. I used to pastor a church, and I remember things would happen sometimes that I'm just going to say this as an observation. I'm not saying this how God does everything. It's just an observation that sometimes I would notice that the changing of seasons in the Spirit would correspond with the changing of seasons in the natural, and not necessarily spring to summer and summer to fall, but things that were happening around, and I could recognize that God was doing something based on what was happening in my life. And even now, and again, this is not a law. It's not something that I'm saying, you know, look for things in the natural, because what we look for is the realms of the Spirit, and we listen with our spiritual ears, and we look with our spiritual eyes, and we wait upon the Lord to see what He is doing. But I'm just going to tell you that there's been some things happening even in my life that I realize there's a change happening. There's a change of seasons, and it's not just for me, but it's in the body of Christ. And just so happened that at the time that I went to Africa, some things happened in my work, and the schedule changed the same time that I come back from Africa. And so there's a correspondence and a correlation to what has happened in the days that I have off, or a direct correlation to some of the things that God has told me to do in this season. And so I know that I didn't plan that. I didn't know what my schedule was going to be. I didn't try to make that happen, but God brought that to pass. And that's just one example of different things that are happening around us that I can look to and say, things are changing. And again, there's some change that's taking place in the realms of the Spirit because of accountability, because of an understanding that the Holy Spirit is bringing us to, that we're going to see happen, that you may not notice in the natural, but if you have your spiritual eyes open and your ears open, you'll see that there's a shifting and an placement that God is strategically putting the church in order to receive the next season of God. And I believe that if we'll put ourselves in line with what God is saying, and we'll speak His word over our lives, and we'll allow the vision, hope, the dream, whatever it is that God's put in your heart, if we'll allow that to rest with Him, we'll confess it, and we'll believe it, and we'll put the responsibility where it belongs, and we'll allow the Word of God to minister to us and bring us peace, that we're going to see the Holy Spirit bring us into a new season. We're going to see Him bringing us into something that will be another level of grace to bring to pass His will in this place. Amen? All right. So, we're going to do our confessions. And I know some people may have to leave, and that's fine. But I appreciate you being with me tonight, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share just what the Lord had put on my heart. I hope it ministered to you. And let's just pray for a moment. Father, we just thank You tonight. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit, for Your anointing, for Your grace, for Your abilities in our lives. And Father, I ask that you'd help us tonight, each and every one that's in this place and every person that hears my voice. Father God, that you would help us to set down, to lay down the dream, the hope, the vision, the calling that you put on our life. To let go of the responsibility, Father. The responsibility that belongs to you. And to simply be obedient to the things that you ask us to do, Father God. Lord, that you'd help us to partner with the Holy Spirit and see your will come to pass in our life. And Lord, that we might receive that grace to believe you, to believe your calling, to believe your dreams, your abilities, your plans, and your purposes, Father. That we might receive and hear from you and simply obey and walk according to your Spirit. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.